All right, we're looking here on at the sugya Pesachim Davar.
Do you have another sheet?
Davar Menal. Tana Rabbanan Nachri Shenichnas Lechatzero Shel Yisrael Ubetzeko Biyado Ein Zokuk Levayer. So the Brice opens up with the case of Betzeko Biyado. And the question is, should we take this literally, Betzeko Biyado? That the reason why the Yisrael is Hachayv and Biur is because the Nachri is holding on to the Batzek. That's a little bit of a difficult position, a little bit too extreme, because even if he puts the Chametz down, takes it out of his hand and he puts it down, then nevertheless, the Yisrael has not accepted upon himself Achrayus. And the next case in the Brice, if Kido Etzel Zokuk Levayer, Rashi points out Kibul all of Achrayus. So the question is, what does Betzeko Biyado mean? Perhaps we can interpret the word Biyado a little bit more liberally. You know, don't take it so literally, but what the Brice is trying to convey here is that the control over the Chametz is totally, completely in the hands of the Nachri. And this might explain, this might be an introduction to Rashi's Shita here in this Braisa, that it's not necessarily so, according to Rashi, that you have to explicitly, the Yisrael would have, in order for the Yisrael to be Chayav for Bal Yerov HaYimotzei, Chayav and Bir, he has to explicitly accept upon himself Achrayus. Meaning, in the next case in the Braisa, Hifkido Etzlo, Zokuk Levar, Yesh Lachar, what does it mean Hifkido Etzlo? Does Hifkido Etzlo just simply describe the Mitzius in which the Israel says, alright, drop the Chametz down, and that's okay, and that's called Hifkido Etzlo? Or does Hifkido Etzlo require an explicit Kabbalah Sachrayus on behalf of the Israel? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hifkido Etzlo, the kibel aleha achrayus. So if I were to stop here, I would assume that Rashi's interpreting that he explicitly accepted himself achrayus. But then Rashi adds two words. He says, kidem afaresh v'azil, as if to say, we don't understand what these words of kido etzlo mean until we read the following bava in the Braisa. Then and only then Zokuk Levayer. So what does this mean, Kibul Oleach Rayus? So let's read the next piece, and then we'll put the Braisa together. Yiche lo bayis, ain Zokuk Levayer, shenemar lo yimotze. Now it sounds like the Yisrael would have to do something in a positive way to remove his Chiyuv Biur. He's got to do an action, b'kumvaseh, namely yichid lo bayis. So we have the two extremes over here, the resha of the resha, the sefer, and then we have the emtsoyis here. The resha and the sefer are very far removed from each other. The resha is a case, literally, of betzeko biyado. The sefer is a case of yichid lo bayis. And Rashi says, what's yichid lo bayis? Koma lo kibul aleh. So what happens in between, if it wasn't Betzeko Biyado, and it wasn't Yichei Lo Bayis? And it's almost like a stira here between the Reisha and the Sefer. It's like the Yukim Sosrim between the Reisha and the Sefer. If you accept the Reisha, then you get the impression that as soon as the Yisrael instructs the guy to put his Chametz down, and then the Yisrael decide what to do with it, you know, move it around this way, move it around that way, depending on convenience, you know, what we call in Muktz in terms of Tzarek Makomo, then the Yisrael would be chayav to be mevarer the chametz. That's the impression you get from the reisha of the reisha. But from the sefer, you get the impression that no, it's not enough that the Yisrael just invited him in. You have to have some sort of kabbalah sachrayus. And then you're confused over here. So let's try to take the following approach. What does it mean, yichei lo bayis? Rashi says, klomar, lo kiblo olav. Ela omar le hare abayis lefanecha hanach bi achas min azovios is ein zokuk levayer. Rashi learns that yichei lo bayis means literally take one of the zovios, and that zovios will be yours, so to speak. In other words, I will not touch touch your chametz. It's designated in that spot. Rashi seems to say that generates the halach of lo kibul olei achrayis. And Rashi is very careful about it. He's got to go out of his way to designate. I mean, again, it's up to the guy to choose. But once the guy chooses a zavis, that zavis is, so to speak, roped off. It's designated for purpose of the guy to leave his chametz there. Therefore, I would submit to you that according to Rashi, the kidemafarish viazil that we saw in the previous Rashi of kido etzlo means that if kido etzlo doesn't require an explicit bekum vaseh kavos achrayus, but kidemafarish viazil meaning it wasn't the case of yichay lo bayis. In the absence of yichay lo bayis, in a situation where the guy doesn't have any designated spot, it means that the Yisrael basically invited the guy to leave the chametz in the house. The chametz in the house is protected by the four walls of the house. That itself is Kabbalah Sachrayus. So, in other words, if Kido Etzlo doesn't mean that the Yisrael said, Hareini Muchan Amezuman Lekabel Olei Achrayus. But what it means to say is that once the Yisrael gives Rishus to the Akum to place his chametz down anywhere in the house, and the Yisrael will decide what to do with that chametz. He will put it here, he will put it there. That itself is Kabbalah Sachrayus. And therefore the Yisrael is chayev in biur. I mean, this touches on the whole issue, what level of Kabbalah Sachrayus do we need? For example, for a Shomer Sachar, who's chayev for Gneva Vaveda, l'chora we would need some sort of higher level of Kabbalah Sachrayus. It wouldn't be enough just to say, well, you know, it's in the house and the walls of the house protect your chametz. All that implicit discussion would not make him into a Shomer Sachar who's chayev for Gneva Vaveda. Therefore, it would seem, according to this Mahalach in Rashi, that even if the Yisrael had no more achrayis than that of a Shomer Chinam, who's chayev for Pshia, that itself would be a Kabbalah Sachrayus in such a way that it would generate a Chiyuv Biur and an Isur Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzah. Therefore, once the Yisrael invites the guy to place his chametz down, and the Yisrael will in a sense be in charge of the chametz, the Yisrael is chayv in biur. Now, for the Yisrael to pattern himself from biur, you need one of two things. Either you need that the guy maintains his control over the chametz, the Yisrael can't touch the chametz, and that's called bitseko biyado, or, which is pretty much identical, yichei lo bayis, where the Yisrael says, you know, you, Mr. Guy, you choose your own zavis. That's going to be muchan umezuman umyuchad lecha. I won't go near your chametz. And then the Yisrael is removing any sort of level of Kabbalah Sachrayus. So there's an implicit Kabbalah Sachrayus, which generates a requirement on the part of Israel to explicitly remove his Kabbalah Sachrayus, b'kum va'aseh, and that's the way Rashi learns yichei lo bayis. Would there be a possibility, according to Rashi, of having Kabbalah Sachrayus and then yichei lo bayis, ein zokuk levayir? Would Rashi embrace the possibility that even if the Israel would explicitly be makabel achrayus, he could remove his chiyuv biur by being miyachid mokom? Does that exist according to Rashi? I don't think so. Right? Rashi's only learning yichei lo bayis equals lo kibul ol achrayus. The very fact that he was miyachid lo bayis, that itself means that the Israel is removing his kabbal achrayus. Which leads us to the kasha of the Ri. Taisa says yichei lo bayis pirusha kudsh lo kibul ol achrayus el omar le hare habayis lefanecha. So, v'kasha l'ri, my iria yiched. If we're talking about a case where there was no Kabbalah Sachrayus, meaning the Ri is assuming his premise is that you, in order to be the Hava, meaning that the Yisrael could be chayv and beer, is predicated on the assumption that the Yisrael accepted a Achrayus, the Ri requires a Kabbalah Sachrayus b'mefurash lehejer b'kum vaseh, explicitly. Therefore, if there was no Kabbalah Sachrayus, says the Ri, what do I need? Yichei lo bayis. So Rashi's assuming that there's such a thing called an implicit Kabbalah Sachrayus. When the Yisrael invites the guy to put his chametz down. The Ri says, no, you need an explicit Kabbalah Sachrayis. And therefore, even Bar Mihochi, without Yichel Lo Bayis, the Yisrael should be potter from Bir. Rashi needs Yichel Lo Bayis to be Mafkia, the Kabbalah Sachrayis, which is Memela, which is Me'elov, which is understood implicitly. I mean, you'll see this in the Ran, I think. The Ran doesn't spell it out exactly this clearly, but I think that's what the Ran is learning in Rashi. He says, Kevan de Kiblo, Virshuso, if he accepted the Chometz into his Rishus, Kiman de Kiblo Leachrayas Domin. There's an implicit Kabbalah Sachrayas. And he quotes a Sugi Bava Kama, Kno Sharcha Birshusi, bring your Shar into my domain, is Chai. Avol Yichel Lo Bayis, Havile Keman, the Omar, it's almost like he was Mafkia with an explicit statement, Kno Sharcha Birshuscha. This is your Rishus. We'll see whether he has to own the Rishus or not, but he's saying, I'm not going to have anything to do with your Chametz, I'm not going to touch it at all. I think also this is a little bit expanded upon in the Rav Shulchan Aruch. Does anybody have the Rav Shulchan Aruch here? I think I photocopied a few at some point. No, if the Rav Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Aleph, Aval im b'shoshe ifkid etzlo yichei lo zoves miyuchere sheichem tzom munach shom ad sheyovo anochri litlo misham v'inicho anochri v'atzmo b'yosu zove sheichel Yisrael o sheinicho shom ad Yisrael v'mamer anochri v'tircho shezovesu tehe miyuchedes lechem tzom ad sheyovo anochri v'yitlenu misham keivot she'en achomitz masur b'yad yaha Yisrael. What does it mean masur b'yad Yisrael? Yisrael is not eating this chomitz. Letaltalo, lefanoso mizovizu lemakom acher. Sharei kvar masar osa zovis lanochri is therefore yichel lo bayis works miein tzarch levaro. So the Rav Shulchan Aruch explains that when the Yisrael invites the guy to put his chametz down in the house and he's not miyachel lo zovis, in such a case, the chametz is considered masur biyad Yisrael. Maybe the word yad in the Rav Shulchan Aruch is similar to this word of yad nachri over here, right? Ein chametz masur biyad haYisrael, but rather it's masur biyad haGoy haNachri. And why is that? Because the Yisrael has no rights letaltalo lefanoso mivzavizul makom acher. Meaning, in the case of Kabbalah Sachrayus gives me certain rights to the object. Right, a person is not considered a shol shalom midas gazlan havi if he's moving the object from one place to the other. And even though the object might be just as well protected in place A, zovis A, as it is in zovis B, nevertheless, if the Yisrael has the discretion to move it for his own purposes, because he needs this makom, he needs the other makom, maybe he wants to beautify his house, so if it's, you know, if it's an object that looks expensive, you know, a nice flower pot, he can move it around in the window so people will see him, will think he's a rich guy. So all that he's allowed to do, that itself gives him a certain kind of element of bailus that he's nene, he's sholeit on the chefetz, he has control over the chefetz. So that's a case of what the Ran calls mistoma, that if there's nothing elsewhere, no another explicit tafka of Yichel Lo Bayis, then the assumption is that the Yisrael has a Kabbalah Sachrayis, he's going to move it around, he's got control over the object, and he violates Ba'yiro Ba'yimotze. Only in Yichel Lo Bayis, then he removes his complete possession, he won't be able to move it around anymore. Now the Yisrael is completely removed from the Chometz. However, the Ri has a strong Kasha. In order to appreciate the Ri's Kasha, let's read the next line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, L'meimra. Well, first the Gemara has trouble with the Lo Yimotze. Michael Amar, what does he derive from Lo Yimotze? Amar Av Papa, Aresha Koi. It's going back to the case where you are Chayev. Reisha means the emtsayos. V'hachi kama. If kido etzlo zokik levar shenemer lo yimotzei, the Torah omits the word lo, right? Like in lo yirah lecha, I should say, like in lo yirah lecha. Here it says lo yimotzei without the lo, and that expands the chiyuv of chomet shel acherin to include if kido etzlo. And he's chayuv. Rav Ashi over lo lemaseifa koi. It's on the p'tur. He has the word bivatechem here. And now he doesn't own the house, so it's the chometz of the guy in the base of Shal Nachri. So again, the way Rashi's learning it, it's very difficult over here, because what do I need base of Shal Nachri? Rashi says Yichel Obayis removes his kavol sachrayus. So if he has no kavol sachrayus, why does the Gemara make this contingent upon Beso Didei Havi? The Nachri Ki Kamayil, the Beso the Nafshi Kamayil. And it goes so far as the Gemara is deriving from here the conclusion of Memra, the Schiris Kanya. How does the Gemara see here any sort of proof that Schiris is Kanya? We're only talking about removing the Achrayus of the Yisrael. All the emphasis here on Bivatechem, and who owns the Bayis, and where the Schiris is Kone. All this is very, very difficult according to Rashi. Vasnan, we have a Mishnah Avodah Zarah, Afabokh Shomala Haskir. Even in Chutzlaritz, where they allow you to rent out your home to a Nachri, because there's no Iser of Lo Sichanim, but there's still a problem of Lo Savi, Toev El Beisecha, Lo Leveis Dira, Omrene Shemach Nisa Toch Avodah Zarah. The Isak Adaita to Schiris Kanya, so I understand very well why in Eretz Yisrael do you have a problem of renting your house to a guy, meaning even though the guy is bringing the Avodah Zarah into his own house, but still just selling a house to a guy in Eretz Yisrael is a problem. Now we're not talking about a Ger Toshav over here. So you have a problem of Lo Seichanim. But what about the Seifa in the case of Chutz Laretz? There's no Easter of selling property in Chutz Laretz to a guy. I mean, we do it all the time. Ella, what the problem is that the guy will bring in Avodah Zarah, but let him bring him into his own place. If I sell a guy a house and he's going to bring Avodah Zarah there, he's bringing his Getchkes in, so what difference does it make? The whole Easter is Losavi Toevel Toch Beis Secha. It's not Beis Secha anymore. So getting back again, leaving one finger on the Gemara and one finger back on Tosus here. The Hachi Nami, see, there's a problem in the Girsi. Do you have Hachi Nami? It should be the Hechi. And that's what I have in the Oz Vahadar Gemara. I think that's a very appropriate change in the Girsi and Tosus. The Hechi Masik Bisomuch. How does the Gemara conclude? L'meimar. This Schiris Kanya, according to Rashi, there's no Kabbal Sachrayus, so therefore the Yisrael is Potter. Yichel Obayis is only a Gili Milsa that he wasn't Mekabal Achrayus. What's it got to do with Schiris Kanya or not Kanya? So it seems that according to Rashi, we need two conditions to be fulfilled in order to Potter the Yisrael from Chometz Shel Akel. It's not enough that the Yisrael didn't accept Achrayus, but we also need, in some positive sense, that the guy bring his chometz into his reshus. He's got some sort of kinyan schirus in the Havamin of the Gemara. Why do we need this kinyan schirus? So again, if the Yisrael, we said before, if the Yisrael has reshus over the chometz, if the Yisrael's in charge of the chometz, and he's going to move it around from place to place, it's not sitting in Beso, in Reshuso Shalan Nachri, then that itself is called Kabbal Sachrayus. So the Gemara thinks in the Hava Mina that in order to remove the Yisrael's Achrayus, it's not just enough that the Yisrael says, choose a Zavis and Gendik, and that's it. That's all I'm interested in. He's got to go a step beyond that. He's got to tell the Nachri, choose a Zavis, and set up your tashmishim in that zavus in such a way that the zavus is yours. There's a kinyan schiris here in the zavus, which I'll say reminds me of, you know, my selling my chametz. So sometimes the Rav will say, sell your chametz with the madaf, you know, with the closet or whatever that where the chametz is located, so that the guy now has a kinyan schirus in the closet that's holding on to your chametz. Here too, in the reverse, I want to say to the guy that your chametz is now completely removed from my achrayus to the extent in which I can't even go near your chametz. It's in your rishus. I would be trespassing if I went there and tried to move your chametz from one zavus to another. But that's very difficult. Upirish Rabbeinu Tam, therefore Rabbeinu Tam says, Dafil b'achrayus mayri. We're dealing with a case where the Yisrael accepted achrayus. And yet there's a new halachia being formulated of yichid lo bayis. Not that yichid lo bayis, the way Rashi would have it, is a gili milsa, whether he wants to take achrayus, he doesn't want to take achrayus, but rather, yichid lo bayis is a mafkia of bal yirah bayim otz. It's a new halacha. And applies even when, lacking thereof, without yichid lo bayis, he would violate bal yirah bayim otz, because he was mekabel achrayus. So if he was mekabel achrayus, then he has a kind of a bailus, a quasi-bailus over the chametz. He says, Mishum hachi mapik milo yimotze dilo chashiv motzu yikeven shichelo bayis. It means he's operating within the context of Schiris Kanya. And it means that he's got achrayis over chametzel shel aku. That per se would be a machayiv in bal yirah bayim motzu. If not for the fact that the Torah says that it's got to be motzu bivatechem. And Yichid Lo Bayis removes the Matzuv Vatechem, and now the Gemara clears back and forth. How does Yichid Lo Bayis remove Matzuv Vatechem? And the Gemara offers two possibilities. One possibility is to say that it's Beso Shel Nachri because Schir is Kanya. And the Gemara rejects that based on a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara's final maskot is no. That Lo Yimotze removes the Chiyuv Bal Yirah Bal Yimotze, not Midin Beso Shel Nachri, not because in Dini Momenos the Nachri has ownership over this bias, over this room, over this closet, over this corner of the house, but rather because it's not considered matzah. Meaning, even if Schirus is not Kanya, it's enough that the Yisrael has designated a Zovis in the house, which he will not touch, he will not go near. It's purely in the Rishus of the Nachri. Now, If a Gazlan comes into the house and steals the chametz, does the Yisrael have to reimburse the Yaakov? According to Rabbeinu Tam, that he was mekabel achrayus. Meaning, in Dini Mominus terms, the pasuk of Lo Yimotze is Lo Maila V'Lo Morit. So in Dini Mominus, where there was this chayvus on the part of the Yisrael to replace the chametz and compensate the guy if it's lost, it would seem that the fact that he was miyachid lo bayis and it's not matzui, which is a chametz tik halacha, doesn't in any way impact on the choshen mishpat halacha of a kabbal sachrayas, of chiyuvei shomrim. So it's a very odd kind of situation, and you have to really analyze this from the perspective of hilchas schiris. What happens if I'm a kabbal achrayas, but I tell you, place it down in a certain zavis, that zavis is out of my... You know, the Yisrael removes himself, the Nifkad removes himself from any ability to move the object and so forth and so on. Does it mean that he has to stand guard in front of his house with a shotgun, that in case somebody wants to break into his house and steal Yenim's object, he'll fight him, you know, like he's a Rodev? And therefore, he's chayev in achrayus, and he has to pay for it. It's a very strange kind of halacha where within the bais itself, the Yisrael has no control over the chametz. But maybe in hilchas chirus, that's lo ma'ilu v'lo morit. But in chametz, as far as bal yirah bayim matzei, the chiyuv beer, we have halacha of lo yimatzei. It has to be matzei. No, Rav Papa doesn't even quote that pasuk. Rav Papa is like misvara. Again, not that it's beso shel nachri in dini mamonos, because we've already proved that schiris lo kanya, but it's enough beso shel nachri to be considered as if it's out of the rishus of the Yisrael. And even if I'm a kabul achrayas on your chametz, but it's now out of my rishus, it's in your rishus, then I'm potter, and that's based on this drasha of lo yimotzei. So it's very interesting. If we had lo yirah lecha, we would say that even if he was mekabel achrayus, the Yisrael is potter. It's chametz shel achirim. Now that we have Lo Yimotzi without Lucha, we say the Kabbal Sachrais is a Mechayev. But Lo Yimotzi at the same time is not just a Harchava to expand the Isur, it's also a Tzimtzum to limit the Isur, it's a Miut. And the Miut is that it's gotta be totally in the bias of Yisrael, it's gotta be Motzi Biyad HaYisrael. That's according to the first day in the Gemara, without Rav Papa, or the second day actually, Rav Ashi. But according to Rav Papa, this whole Shtikl Torah is derived from Sfar. Om Rav Yudha Marav, Hamotzi Chametz V'Beis O'Biyantiv, Kofa Lovis HaKli. He finds Chametz in his house on Yantiv, so he has no possibility of burning the Chametz, we'll have to see why. Kofa Lovis HaKli. So the whole discussion here seems to revolve around Shemiyovo li Achla. And therefore we distinguish here between Chametz Shal Yisrael and Chametz Shal Hegdish. Bedilimine and Lo Bedilimine. Rashi says, Kofal Avis HaKli. Why not just take the Chametz and throw it into the garbage? So Rashi says, Dolo Chazi Little Tule Lafuke. There's no head to tiltle over here because the chametz on Pesach is completely mukta. It's completely out of the realm of tiltle. Umiyu, but Rashi wants to qualify this. We're talking about a case where there was bittel. Bival yirolo over the batli believe esod aminin kamar avot tzokshi vata believo. So we circumvent any isur of bal yirah. Rashi doesn't even mention the mitzvah of tashvisa, but apparently Rashi Lishitoso that Tashbis means to Vatlun, and if he was Mevatl already yesterday, so when he finds Chometz on Yantiv, there's no mitzvah of Tashbisu, all we're left with is the Gzeres Chachom Shemiyovel Yachlo, and we're not going to violate the Isur Tiltil Mukta for the sake of Shemiyovel Yachlo. So Kofal of Isakli, that's what we're left with. The implication clearly in Rashi's words is that had he not made Bittel yesterday, and we would, what would surface here is an Issa Doraisa Val Yiroah, and a Mitzvah Doraisa Tashbisu, then we wouldn't resort to this default position of Kofal of Sakli, but rather we would have him destroy the Chametz, or maybe Zora Mafarla Ruach. Elam Yishum Rashi concludes, Shalom Yishkach V'yochlenu Tzarech Kfiyas Kli, Mivdal b'dilim inei afilu b'chol lomenu lifrosh mimenu. So again, Rashi is very explicit here that we're talking about a case where there already was bittel, and therefore the shaviyav liyachlo is not enough to be matir tiltil. We have kofal of sakli. The Rambam in Peri Gimel Halacha Ches doesn't mention a word about the fact that he already was mevatel as chametz. Does the Rambam assume that we know that? In matzah biyantiv kofal avas hakli ad ha'erev umevaro v'yim shal hegdei shu eino tzarech lichvol sol of kli shakol parshim imen. Says the Magid Mishnah v'das rabbeinu l'fi anire, I think he means stimas loshen Rambam l'farsha, the way of interpreting the Rambam's opinion is afilu below bittel. The afal pichen, despite the fact that we have a mitzvah of tashbisu, we have bal yirah by yimotz, everything is haunting us, eino yochel l'sarfo b'yantu. Okay, that itself needs to be understood. Obviously he's talking about meleches havara, and he's assuming that there's a meleches havara and yantif which is not to be lifted, alleviated, even for the sake of chametz below bittel. What about the other option? Yefar v'zor l'ruach, we pass like chachamim, you don't need streifa. And again, the Magen Mishnah goes a step further. He says, v'lo l'faro u'zaroso l'ruach. What malach is involved now? So it sounds like he's talking about tiltul mukta. You know, pick it up, ground it, grind it down, and then throw it to the wind. So it's unbelievable. Not only is Havara as a Malacha to, you know, still an intransigent blockage over here that doesn't allow me to destroy the Chametz physically in the sense of Sreifa because of Malacha's Havara, but even to move the Chametz and remove it from my Rishus and throw it to the wind, even that's impossible, despite the fact that there was no Bittul. And presumably because of the Isur Mukta. So we were under, you know, as long as we were in Rashi's territory, we felt we were standing on solid ground. But now the ground is shaking below our feet. B'yesh mefarshim, I assume the Magen Mishnah is referring to Rashi here. The dafka b'shekfar bitlo kodem yisur v'ena overlo. V'ayim lo bitlo yachalu l'sarfo o l'zroso l'ruach b'yant. Now take a look at that goes, my monios, os tes. He says, V'im tomi yifarenu mimkomo. Da islay l'Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda who's talking here in our Gemara, in Pesachim, also is Rabbi Yehuda in Ksubis, who holds, he maintains the position, we talk shutra volitzark, shutra nami shalolitzark. So that means havar is mutter even if I'm not going to eat it. I'm not cooking it, I'm not baking it. It's mutter mi dim mi talk. So the Agos Maimonides raises this as a question, at least in his havamin, I assume, like I saw in the Magen Mishnah, that we're talking about a case in the Rambam of afilu lo bitlo. But that goes by areas, he can't juggle this, he can't maintain this. How could it be if lo bitlo that we don't apply mitoch to be mater avora? Yeshlom el ochamari shem bitlo. So therefore that goes by monios takes the Rambam and he's willing to push in a new kimtin to the Rambam. The Rambam left it out. That little condition over here, right? That kavyochli insignificant stipulation that we talk about a case where he was mevatel his chametz. V'lo avrola mishum bal yiro bayimot. Afim lo yivaren. V'anan be'inon shetei avora litzorek tzas. What is that? Those my money is bothered by that he adds this piece at the end. V'anan be'inon shetei avora litzorek tzas. I mean, he just finished saying that there's no problem bal yiro bayimotze. So there's no pressing need to destroy the chametz. Apparently, I guess what's written here between the lines is that Gos Maimonides is raising the issue of why kofel of us are clear. If the Rabbanan are interested in separating you from the chametz, why couldn't they just tell you to destroy the chametz? Maybe that Gos Maimonides is willing to even postulate that mid Rabbanan there's a mitzvah of tashbisu. Right, like we saw, for example, Bedikas Chametz, even after Bittel, so you have no Bal Yiro Bayimotze. Maybe you're Mekayim in the midst of Tashbisu Doraisa, but nevertheless, the Chachamim require Bedik and Biur. So there is a mitzvah of Tashbisu Midrabbanan. Wouldn't that be sufficient to allow you to burn the Chametz, even granted if you did Bittel and you covered your bases on a Doraisa level? So on that, Dagos Maronis puts his foot down, and he says, for sure that would not allow you to apply the principle of mitoch. That's not called tzorech hayom ktsas. Perhaps that goes by Manius at this point is postulating that there is no such thing as a mitzvah of tashbisu midrabbanan. And okay, now I mean the mitzvah of tashbisu, whether it be doraisa or drabbanan, would be enough to activate the principle of mitoch. But here, once you fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu doraisa, the rabbanan are not going to be chosev adir, they're going to recreate and regenerate a mitzvah of tashbisu. All they need is to avoid the problem of Shema Yavo Liochlo, and to solve that problem, to address that issue, they have the option, the alternative of Kofel Avos HaKli. And therefore it's not considered Tzorech HaYom. And perhaps we can assume in the context that goes by money is that Tzorech HaYom has to be a pressing need, and there's no other way of doing it. It's a matir of sorts on the Isur of Havara. And there's no matter on the Isra Avorah if the Rabbanan are worried about Shem Yavu Liochlo, and they can cover that, Tarti Mashma, cover that base, by being Kofel of Zakli. Well, let's see the Kesef Mishnah. Hikshuba goes, Yivarenu Bimkomo. Okay, so here's an important point. We didn't emphasize two words in our Gos Maimonides. We sort of glossed over them. But let's take a minute to focus on them. Why does Dagos Marmonios present the option of burning the chametz? Why does he present the option of burning the chametz bimkoma? What does it mean bimkoma? Yeah, without violating the Isur Tiltul. Interesting. He's nervous about the Isur Tiltul, but he's willing to be liberal and permit the Isur Sreifa, which is a Malacha Mamish. That itself is odd.
But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's fine.
Hmm?
If you're following Rabbi Yehuda, it's fine.
So Rabbi Yehuda holds me talk shutshulitzar, therefore we should allow havara bimkomo. Not that we're going to go ahead and be matir tiltal, but havara bimkomo. Again, how he's going to do it, I don't know. Without burning down his house, he's got to have one of these Brenners, you know, and then maybe there's something metal underneath it. But whatever the logistic is, it. But there's no isin tiltal, but there should be a matir of havara. And he answers, there's no matir havara because he already made bitul. Nuvay islay Rabbi Yehuda mitok v'tirtzu dehachi ariv shebitul uladasa Rav HaMagid afilu lo bitul askina. So according to Rav HaMagid, what do we do with the cash of the agos maimonios? Namely, Rabbi Yehuda maintains the position of mitoch, and we're talking about a case of lo bitlo. So this seems like a question that doesn't have any answer. Now, how can it be that when Matir Shalol Litzar through Mitoch, and here in a case where he wasn't Mavatel Schams, he's got Tashbisu, he's got Bal Yiroi, he's got Bal Yimotze, that's not enough to set up Mitoch? How could it be? Even Rabbi Akiva on Daf Hayom and Aleph established that there's no possibility of interpreting Achmi Amarisha Tashbisu on Yontiv because he rejected Mitoch, implying that had he accepted, embraced Mitoch, then for sure Tashbisu could apply on Yontiv. So why is it that Tashbisu is not enough to fulfill the requirement of Mitoch? Very, very difficult question. Yesh Lomar. Now this is a weak answer. Ksheitiru havar shalol litzarach hani mili b'sheyesh tzarach hayom k'tzas. So for Tashbisu, for Bal Yiroi Bayimotze, there's no tzarach hayom k'tzas. V'chitema ha'ika tzarach hayom kevin d'ika mitzvah. It's interesting how he says in a sentence that he asks a question. V'chitema, maybe you'll ask. Like as if we were satisfied, you know, to take a pause here midway. You know, then we understood it. No, we don't understand it. I mean, maybe you should read it in one neshima. I don't know. And interesting, the objection of the Kesef Mishnah at this point is only on the basis of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. He doesn't even mention something which I thought would even be more fundamentally problematic and more pressing. Namely, Bal Yiroi Bal Yimotze. Two lavim, right? The Rambam counts it in the Minyan Taryag as two separate lavim. Lesser. There's no kasha. Not lesser, but lesser. Okay. Lesser. Das reifas kodshim mitzvah saseh v'eino doche yontif. I don't get it. I mean, who's talking about doche? I mean, you have a question of Sreifas Kodshim, whether it's doche yontif or not. Now, Sreifas Kodshim, Kodshim Nifsalu, is also by Noah. He can't use it in any shape, way, or form. Unless he means Sreifas Truma Shenitma, which you're allowed to be Nena Tokidei Sreifa, and therefore you could cook your pot on it. But he does use the language of Sreifas Kodshim, and not only that, he goes ahead and he says that it's Midin Ese Doche Losase. So there is one day in the Gemara in Shabbos that says that Sreifas Kodshim on Yontif is prohibited because Ein Aseh Doche Losaseh V'Eseh. But what does that have to do with our discussion over here? We're talking about Ochel Nefesh. We're talking about Mitoch. Maybe the Ran is, the Kesef Mishnah, excuse me, is raising the possibility that Sreifas Kodshim should likewise be Mutter under the Halacha of Mitoch. But again, I'd be hard pressed to say Mitoch because Sreifas Kodshim could suffer delay. You can procrastinate the Sreifas Kodshim until the day after. Okay, Mitzvah Voliot Chaltach Mitzena is reason Makdim LeMitzvahs, but I don't know, is that enough to make it a Tzorach Hayom? I mean, Tosus in Beitza and Daf Yud Beis is Machal Chimila Bizmana, Mil Shalom Bizmana. So it says you're allowed to take out a cut in Lamulo on Yontif. That's only on the eighth day of his birth. So Sreifas Kodshim shouldn't be any better than Mila Shalom Bizmana. Therefore, the Gemara's analysis of Sreifas Kodshim Yontif is only Mitzad Esei Docha Losase. And the Gemara answers that it's Ein Esei Docha Losase in this case because of the nature of Yontif. But here we're dealing with a whole other issue. A Tzorach Hayom Mamish. I mean, V'chitema, he asks the question about Ika Tzorach Hayom. And he answers Lesa. No, there is no Tzorach Hayom. What has it got to do with Sreifas Kodshim? Anybody? I mean, I think based on what we learned last week, we have an answer to this question. What is he trying to prove from Sreifas Kodshim? Right? The sugya of Sreifas Kodshim is here in Shabbos Chav Dalet. Ein sarfan kodshim biyonta minani mili. And the Gemara quotes a few different options here. Lo sasir menu ad boker, vanos menu ad boker. Why does it say ad boker twice? To teach you that you shouldn't burn the nosar on Shabbos, but wait till Sunday. Abai says all Shabbos b'shabbat of lo eschol. He calls Sreifas Kodshim lo eschol because it's not connected to yontif at all. Rava calls it Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. I don't know what he means by that. Ravashi says Yontif is an essay in the Losa, say in Docha, ain essay Docha Losa v'yessay. So we have a whole bunch of opinions as to why we can't burn Kodshim on Yontif. And Tos assumes that we cannot burn Truma Tmea on Yontif for the same reason, because it's like Sreifas Kodshim. And he asks the question, but why can't you burn Truma Tmea on Yontif with the halacha of mitoch? And not only that, if you're cooking something or heating your body, then that per se should make it into ochel nefesh. So who remembers Tosa's answer?
That's only after.
Oh, so that's one answer of Tosas. That's really like Tosas Yom Sochim Da Vavam and Aleph. But here in Shabbos and in a number of other places, in Beitza and also in Shabbos elsewhere, he says a different answer. He says, "Havarzu ain't a litzorech hanaaso ela l'shem mitzvah sreifa." He quotes the Riva. The Riva is machalik between two types of sreifa. One is it's sreifa for your own personal purpose, for your own benefit, and that he says can come under the halacha of ochel nefesh. And another he says is a sreifa l'shem mitzvah. In the case of Truma Tmeah and also in Kodshim Psulim, what motivates you to burn the Kodshim, to burn the Truma Tmeah? It's the mitzvah, it's the L'shem Mitzvah. Whenever you're burning something L'shem Mitzvah, the L'shem Mitzvah is exclusive. It's antithetical to Ochel Nefesh. Ochel Nefesh means for your purposes. But when you're doing the malacha not for your purposes, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you to, then by definition that bumps off Litzarech Ochel Nefesh. So too, in the case of Nidarim, of Shchitas Nidarim, and Nidavis Biyantif, where Tosa says the reason why, according to that man, the Omer, Ein Shochtin Nidarim, and Nidavis Biyantif, is because the Shchit is being done for what purpose? For Gavah, for Hegdesh. Not for your own personal purpose. So if we apply that to the Kesef Mishnah, again, the Kesef Mishnah doesn't explicitly refer to that, but maybe what the Kesef Mishnah is perhaps implying here is that if you want to burn the chametz on Yontif, under the halacha of Ochel Nefesh or Mitoch, and say it's Litzar Chayom because of the mitzvah of Tashbisu, we already have a precedent that when you're burning something for the purpose of a mitzvah, that's exclusive, that completely is antithetical to burning it for the sake of Ochel Nefesh. It can never ever be considered Ochel Nefesh. It's mufka from being Ochel Nefesh. So Mitoch can't help you over here. Again, if you said Mitoch like Rashi Shita, that Mitoch completely removes the Malach from the category of Malachas Yontif, that's Nicha. But Tosa assuming no. It's only an expansion of Ochel Nefesh. You don't need Ochel Nefesh Mamish, you need any Litzorich. But Litzorich means Litzorich you, your Tzorich, your personal purpose, your benefits. That can't be. That to say something is being done, a Malach is being achieved for the sake of a mitzvah, or for the sake of Hegdesh, and at the same time, to maintain that you're doing it Litzorich for Ochel Nefesh, that's mutually exclusive. Those things cannot coexist. So that's the first answer of the Kesef Mishnah, and it's a fascinating answer. We still haven't come to grips with the issue of Tiltul Mukta in a case where there's Bayura and Tashbis. We also have to ask the question, okay, so at the end of the day, if you didn't make Bittul, so what's going to happen? Are you going to violate two Lavim in the Torah? But let's first see a second answer. The ode, the Amrina v'perikam dechsuv is the law Amrina mitoch el bahana hashava l'chol nefesh pirush l'chol guf guf ona. V'hacha leka hana l'shum guf. So according to the Gemara in Ksuvis, we can only expand ochel nefesh from eating, right, consumption of the food, to any other hanoas haguf. And that hanoas haguf, the Gemara says, has to fulfill the requirement of shavah l'chol nefesh. That's the whole sugi of mugmar. You remember the sugi of mugmar? So it's only l'mefunakim, those people enjoy mugmar, they appreciate that hanoah. But if you don't appreciate that hanoah, then there's no litzara. If litzarech would expand beyond the confines of hanoah, then who cares whether you're nene? Excuse me, you're not nene. No, I am nene. If I'm nene, then that's called litzarech. But the answer is that mitoch limits us to hanoas haguf, and in the case of burning the chametz, there's no hanoas haguf. So either way, Tosa has two options. The Ketzav Mishnah, I'm learning it like a Tosa, has two options as to why mitoch wouldn't apply. The heter v'ochel nefesh wouldn't apply, even through mitoch. Why? Either because it's l'tzarech mitzvah, and if it's l'tzarech mitzvah, that's exclusive. It cannot coexist with l'tzarech ochel nefesh. Or alternatively, it's got to be some sort of hanoas haguf, expanding beyond the confines of consumption of achila, but nevertheless hanoas haguf. The criterion here will not be met. What I don't understand here, if somebody could enlighten me, so how do we understand Rabbi Akiva according to the Kesef Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva says, Shmamina Rava derives from Rabbi Akiva Tlas, one of the three that he derives from Rabbi Akiva, that Tashbisa cannot be fulfilled on Yontif is because we don't hold mitoch. But maybe as a universal principle, Rabbi Akiva would hold of mitoch, but here it cannot apply, either because it's l'shem mitzvah or because it's not hanos haguf. I don't have an answer to that question. If anybody has an answer, there's probably a technical answer, but I don't know what it is. Now the Kesef Mishnah offers a third answer based on Tosfos and Ksuvos. By Tosfos, Parakam, and Ksuvos, Tirtzu, Deli Ola, Mishalo, Bitlo. Even if there was no Bitl, and we're accepting the Magid Mishnah in the Rambam that there was no Bitl, nevertheless, you can't do anything but Kofel of a Sakli. Why? My below sharina l'sarfo mishum mitoch haynu tam mishum the aser l'sarfo mirabanan mishum mukta the aser l'taltol. Wow, this is a radical breakthrough. Based on Tosfos and Ksuvos, the Kesef Mishnah says einochinami sreifa v'taras moleches sreifa would certainly be muteris on yontif if he hadn't done bittul because of mitoch. But the iser here is an Easter Drabbanan of Mukta. This is counterintuitive. To be matir, a doraisa, wach doraisa, fine. That mitok will help me. He didn't make bittul and will be matir. But the problem, the blockade here, is the Easter Mukta, the Easter Tiltul Mukta, which is only Midr Abbanan. The Kesef Mishnah at this point does not entertain the possibility of burning the chametz without being metaltal the chametz, which is, I think, a clear possibility according to the Hagos Manios quoted by the Kesef Mishnah Liel. Yisarfenu b'mekomo. In fact, Tosfos and Ksuvos doesn't make any difference. He doesn't make any distinction whether he burns it in its place or he removes it from the house and burns it outside. In both cases, it's awesome. Now, if the Isra is not Sreifa, but only Tiltal, I don't quite understand why we cannot... Again, unless he's assuming that if he burns in its place, it's going to burn the house down. Alternatively, maybe there's a radical Chiddush here that the Isra Tiltal Mukta is not to pick up the Mukta and move it, but it's to cause the Mukta to be moved. For example, a Tiltal Al Yedei Dovar Acher, we said that's only Mutter under very strict conditions. Right, you're moving it al yidei davar acher for the purpose of the davar heter, but not for the purpose of the davar isur. So it would seem that together the definition of the isur tiltul, both on Shabbos and on Yontif, is causing the object to move. Again, there are other heter if you do it shelo kedarko, you blow it and you kick it, you dust and you enter. But if it's considered kedarko, if that's a normal way of causing something to move, So it could be that maybe the way the Kesef Mishnah would argue in Tosis and Ksubis is that there's an Issa Tiltal even if you burn it in its place, because you're causing the object to move. That itself is a violation of the Issa Tiltal. The kashli al divrehem, the chimi shumi surah the rabbanon sharina le la shoso velavral of the vayirabai motze. Are the rabbanon going to insist that you violate two lavim do raisa for the sake of upholding an isur de rabbanon? It doesn't make any sense. So Tosus says. So again, I learned it like a Tosus. That's why I call it a Tosus. The Kesef Mishnah gives two answers. Yes, the rabbanon will insist on upholding the isur muktzah even at the expense of violating two lavim do raisa. Yeshlam the chacham asu chizuk ledivreim. I'm not exactly sure how the Kesef Mishnah knows such a thing. I mean, there are places where we find this principle. Why do we have a right laissez-faire? You know, at any time we feel it'll help us be mataritz the kasha, we'll apply the principle of chacham masu chizuk ledevreya. I mean, you have to have reason for that. You know, there's got to be a pressing need. So I don't know if we find in mukta as a general rule the chacham masu chizuk ledevreya. Do we find that the rabbanon said you should violate two lavim doraisa rather than violate mukta? Okay, but it's a teretz. The od, the ilu lavral isur muktzah tarkum vaseh, the lavral bayirav matzav shevi alta seh. So we have a principle of yesh koch v'yad chachomim lakar dover min ha-Torah, the Rabbanon could force you to violate the Torah's wishes as long as it's b'shevi alta seh. Right? That's the famous sugi in Yevamos. So he's saying over here in Palirova Yemotzi, the Chachom are telling you to do such a thing. Okay, so that only answers half the question. That tells you how the Rabbanon have the power and the authority to do this. But why? What would motivate them to do so? So in the first teretz of the Kesef Mishnah, he says, Asu Chizuk, that Muktzah needs Chizuk. So a person should like jump off a roof rather than violate Muktzah, because it needs Chizuk. But in the second teretz, he's not operating with the principle of asu chizuk, but he's saying that the rabbanon have the power to do so, they have authority to do so. Yeah, but why would they do so? So really, in truth, I think we stopped in the middle of a sentence over here. Yeah, you have to read the Kesef Mishnah in one breath. He says, Ritzono, Uritzono, the Vav HaMechaber is very important, Uritzono Hayel Avaro. He really wants to destroy the chametz. El shechachamim asruhu is therefore, says the Kesef Mishnah, eino overalov. Delo amra Torah bal yirav ayimotze el kishe birshuso hayilavari, has the possibility of being mevarit. If he ain't mevarit, he fails to do so. Aval ibu anus lo vize anusu. So I would tell you, Rabosai, I have three different understandings of the Kesef Mishnah's teretz over here. The problem is that he added that last line. But had he not added the last line, I would offer the following. Possibility number one is that Kesef Mishnah holds that you only violate by your Rabbi Yimotze on a Torah level in a case where you violated Tashbisu, meaning Bal Yirav HaYemotzeh are conditional lavim. They depend upon the violation of Tashbisu. The EQ of Tashbisu sets up Bal Yirav HaYemotzeh. If Lu Yitzur, there would be a situation where there is no Tashbisu, then willy-nilly there would be no Bal Yirav HaYemotzeh. So here there's no possibility of Tashbisu. Why? Because the Rabbanan have the authority to do this. They could say Shevi Alta, so don't be Mekayim HaMitzvah Saseh. So they tie your hands. Once they tie your hands, as far as Tashbisu is concerned, the male is no Bayirav Ayimotzis. That's why the Rabbanon are motivated to do this. They have the authority to do it through Shevi Alta, so they will do it because there's no violation of Bayirav Ayimotzis, and the reason for that is there's no Tashbisu. That's one way of learning the Kesef Mishnah's Teretz. But it would seem to me that there's a whole other way of learning the Kesef Mishnah over here. We spoke many times about what the Mechayev of Bal Yirav HaYemotzeh is, especially within the context of the Ramban, who says in the name of the Yerushalmi that you're over Bal Yirav HaYemotzeh for Chomet Shal Hefker, and why? Because he wants to be Zocha, Choser V'Zochabo in the Hefker. So the Yisoda Yisodos and Shoresh HaLavim of Bal Yirav HaYemotzeh is Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, the fact that he wants the Kiyum of the Chomet. So here where his hands are tied, the Rabbanan said, don't destroy the chametz. That's not called rotza b'kiyumo. It's like, for example, you remember the Ran that we discussed way back when, that if, let's say, you did bedika, but you missed chametz. So the Ran says that even when you find the chametz, you're not over by your own, by your motzi. Ayla mafreya, you missed it. So b'shogeg, I'll call upon him, you had bali rabbi motzi. He says, hatora somcha l'chazokus. Yeah, but we ask the question, what do you mean hatora somcha l'chazokus? How can the Torah be somech on a chazaka when the chazaka was mistaken? Chazaka is like a rope, but now we know it's the mute. So we thought there is no chametz in the house, but it turns out, lo and behold, the chametz is there and he laughs in our face. He laughs in the face of the chazaka. So what does it mean that Torah is somech on a chazaka? Call him a shogeg. But certainly he violated Vayirov Ayamotze. The chazaka was fallible, it was unreliable. So the answer we suggested is that the Ran is operating with the Ramban's halacha of rotza b'kiyumo. Shneivarim einam b'shusso shel adam. So that's not rotza b'kiyumo. He did everything in his power. He did a bdika. He wasn't laid back about it. Then he missed it. Or is the Ran saying something totally different? That einam chinami, he violates Vayirov Ayamotze. But just onus rachmana patre. Since he was listening to the Rabbanan, which is what he has to do, mitzvah l'shmo b'divri chachamim, he was an onus. No, but you'll ask me, does onus remove the avera? So I don't know. Either the Kesef Mishnah holds, this is Rav Chaim Shita, that there's a difference between shogeg and onus, that shogeg is a mais avera, the p'tur onshim, whereas onus is not even a mais avera. Or alternatively, maybe this Kesef Mishnah is connected to the famous Nesivus. The Nesivus says that if you're shogeg in an Iser B'Shevi Alta, then you don't need tshuva, you don't need kapar, it's not an aver at all. In other words, if there were circumstances beyond your control and you actively violated an Iser, so then you have to do tshuva and kapara for the violation of the Iser. If, on the other hand, circumstances, mitigating circumstances beyond your control left you in a situation of feshevi altaseh, then there's no need to do tshuva and kapar. I don't know. But it would seem that the Kesef Mishnah embraced the third pshat because of the addition of al imhu anus lo. So it's very interesting that the Rabbanan would be motivated to put you in a situation where you violate two isurim ba'anus. That's a fantastical chiddush of the Kesef Mishnah. For Rav Rabbeinu Menach, Tirei Tzlosharina L'Tiltul Mishum D'Be'idna L'Taltule Lo Mekayim Mitzvahs Tashbisu. This is Tosus in Ksubis?
No, it's like that other answer in Tosus with Sreifas Kachim.
Oh, yeah. Like how Tosus here, that it's Vezech or Zeh. The only thing I would ask you is, do we really need Be'idna? Because if we need Be'idna, right, the whole assumption, the premise, the Nekudas HaSchola here, in this whole Sugya, is Mitoch. So mitok means what? That I should have the hanoah at the time that I violate the malacha? Maybe that's what Rabbeinu Menach holds. And it's not enough to see in the horizon that through this malacha I will eventually enjoy benefits. It has to be simultaneous with the avira, with the asiyas hamalacha, that I can enjoy the benefits. So, for example, Sreifas Truma Tmeya might be mutter according to this Deah because it's simultaneous. Where Sreifas Chametz, where you have to wait till it turns into charcoal before you can nene from it, so then it's not simultaneous. Well, perhaps Rabbeinu Menach holds that you don't apply the principle of Mitoch in the case of Tiltul Mukta. Maybe he holds that Tiltul Mukta is an Isidoraisa, Ve'echinu Asher Yaviyu. But it doesn't come under the Malachas. And if it doesn't come under the Malachas Shabbos, then maybe there's no din of Mitoch. Because Mitoch only applies to a Malacha, not to an Isur. So I don't know, for example, would you apply Ochel Nefesh to things like Machamer, or to Chutz L'Tchum, or Tchumin, or to Muktzah? I mean, the Gemara says about in Karakol HaKelin that Otu Muktzah Tzor Tiltulhu. So we made a big deal about that Muktzah is an extension of Melechus Hotzah. But I'm not sure that we could be Mechayiv Rabbeinu Menach to accept that position. Alright, so Bli Neder on Thursday, Yom Chamishi, will cover the Sugya of Mefarish V'yotzei B'shayara, which I had on schedule for today, but as usual, we didn't get to it, and